All right, wish to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Glad to be with you all here again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness again and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, we just ask your blessing on us, Lord, as we seek to do your will, to hear it, Father, to see it and apply it, Lord. Again, we just ask that you'd help us, Father, to have eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father. Lord, again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Just one thought. The boys give their lessons every week. I think it'd be good if you girls would give them too. You don't have to do it publicly and say it, but you ought to be going along with whatever's asked of the boys to do. Just do it in support, and just be a blessing for you all just to do it too. Like I said, you don't have to get up and speak about it, but you can quietly apply those things that are the boys are asked to do and learn as well. Anyway, let's open our Bibles to Galatians. Chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 1 and then we'll skip down to verse 13. Tyler brought out the verse about the Spirit of God. Jesus said that whenever he was about to depart, he said, I'm going to leave and I'll send you another. This Bible says helper, but in King James says the comforter. And a lot of times for years, and a lot of people take him this way, but they hear the word comforter, right away you think of some just soft, easy place, just being comforted, some with your arm around you or somebody just helping you, just as a comfort, and that's can be some of what it means, but it's not actually what it means. Whenever saw a picture a few years ago of a king, and he had his sword and he was poking it in the back of one of his soldiers, and the caption underneath it says, King Henry, or whichever king it was comforting his soldier. It's the exact opposite idea of what we think of whenever we hear of the comforter. We just think of a big, nice, warm blanket or something, that it's just going to make us feel so nice. But that is not what the Holy Spirit came to do. And this idea, it was in the same time period where that picture was, that the comforter was prodding his soldier forward. When we read about Jesus, said, I'll leave you another comforter or helper. It's Jesus leaving and giving someone another or someone just like him in his place. He's not in the physical form as Jesus was in, but he's going to be of the same spirit. And whenever we look at the life of Jesus, we don't see Jesus going around with his arm around all of his disciples. Oh, you poor dear. Oh, I hope you just feel better. He never says anything like that. He helps people. He heals people. But he's not just this little mushy thing that's just going around and just making everybody feel better. Worried about everybody's feelings. That's not what he did. In fact, the disciples as they were following him. You know, whenever they, it seems to us, whenever, you know, they doubted. And right away, he's, oh, you have little faith. And there's times, you know, you just almost, he just, it seems pretty cruel, you know, that, how did you doubt? You know, you just get the image of him just more with a sword poking behind than just trying to make us feel better because we were weak. He's trying to prod us on. He's trying to make us stronger, trying to make us tougher. And he's preparing us for a war here, not so we can just go sit by the fire and wrap up and get a little nice cup of cocoa and just feel all comfy. That's not what he needs from us. It's not what he's here to do. That's not what Jesus did. And so when he says, I'll send another comforter, he's telling us that he's going to send someone that's going to prod us on to be more like him. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. You know, one of the sayings of the early fathers of this country said, we've been given freedom. And then he goes on, if you can keep it. Freedom is a gift, but it's not something that's just, once you have it, it's just yours forever. Freedom is something that must be maintained. And all through the Bible we see that. That Mary says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. And then he spends the next 12 verses talking about things that can entangle us and take away our freedom. To the point where one of them, it says, you've fallen from grace, he said. And it wasn't because they fell into some deep, dark sin. It said he just got tripped up in keeping a certain law, keeping a certain rule. And it just drew him back in to being under bondage again. Maybe it wasn't the bondage of the deep, dark sin that we've talked about, but we can allow our religion, we can allow our rules, our things that may be there to help us, but they can become a law to us. And we can just become a servant. That's not what God wants of us. He wants us to be free. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. And that's what he intends for us. You know, the things that the Bible sets out as the examples of the early church or the church to be a representative of, they're for us to be free. You know, the forgiveness. If we don't forgive someone, it can just become a law. But if we won't forgive, we're a servant to that person. We're not free. And if we have to get revenge, we're under bondage. You know, whenever he says freedom, it doesn't mean it's just, I can just do whatever I want. It doesn't matter anymore. That's not what freedom's about. Freedom is being the moral agent that's morally responsible for your own life. That there's a governing law that keeps you from bondage. And that's what Christ came to do. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Therefore, keep standing firm. You know, whenever we think of standing firm, we're just going to hold on to a principle. But this is the very thing he's talking about, people who weren't willing to give up some of these things, and they were becoming in bondage to them instead of being free to be. The firmness is being in freedom to Christ. Freedom to yield ourselves to him, not just to a bunch of rules or a bunch of laws. And then he goes on and explains in the next few verses about that. And in verse 13, it says, for you were called to freedom, brethren. Again, you were called to freedom. You know, that's why, you know, I think that I appreciate even what this country, its founding principles, it was about freedom. not the same, but it parallels it. I mean, it's just a slight image of freedom. You know, when you look at mankind and whenever it's set free, whenever the human race is set free and it's not under bondage, not under burden, it's amazing the things that man can obtain to. And we've got people that could fly to the moon. We've got all kinds of amazing things that have been accomplished. And a big part of that is because people were just set free to do it. That is just a parallel of what it means to be set free in the life, the spiritual life. You and I have the power to obtain, through freedom, that ability to become the sons of God, to be like Him, to be in the same spirit, to be of the same spirit as Christ, as anyone throughout history who's lived their life. It was freedom that gave them that power, that ability to prosper in our Christian life. You know, if this is just all a burden to us and we're just doing this because it's just a bunch of old rules and it's just, you're in bondage. Being free, we choose this way because it is the higher path. Not because of this set of rules gets us there. It's because we seek Christ and we want to be a part of Him. For you were called to freedom. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Here again, our freedom is not just so we can do whatever we want. Our freedom is that we can turn ourselves away from this world and away from ourselves to become the servant of God. To become someone who walks after the flesh. After the Spirit. And be like God. We choose to follow the Lord. Giving ourselves to become like Him. That's what we're set free to do. You know, I've said it many times that as I look into the world, you know, people see bad that goes on in the world. And so they think, how can there be a God? Well, they don't understand at all how great God is, that He is so powerful and so almighty that He can allow a little being to go against Him and do whatever they want to do. That they can chart their own course. He's big enough to let people do that. And as we see people that are doing evil, it's not, oh, how can there be a God because people are evil? It's amazing that God can allow people to go as far as they want into evil. But on the other opposite, the opposite side of that is that we can be as much like God as people can be like the devil. We have that freedom. We don't see it very often. But we can go just as far. We can soar just as high towards righteousness and godliness and goodness as filth and low as people get. You know, when we see someone living in a low way, so just we see someone just trying to control other people and just the evil that's can be here in this world, we can see righteousness and go just as far the other way as they do in evil. That's what freedom does. It gives us the opportunity to go whichever direction, whichever path we want to choose. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom to an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. You see, here's where freedom becomes the servant. And you can still be completely free in doing it. Being a servant. And being completely free. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. In the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's how you become free. Because, you know, if we're just loving ourselves, we're a servant to ourselves. And it goes nowhere. It doesn't go anywhere. It just brings us into more and more bondage. You know, people that set out just to be happy, some of the most miserable people in the world. Because they never get there. They never get there. Because the root of their road to there is becoming a servant to yourself. And that won't work. But the key to freedom is to lose yourself, deny yourself, and to put others in that place. You know, the boys talked about, one of them said something about they didn't have a real opportunity because there wasn't around any real poor people or real needy people. You know, a lot of times we look for those big things. Whenever we pray, a lot of times, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. You know, a lot of times it's just the simplest little thing that we can do for someone else that makes the biggest impact on them. You know, we see people that give millions and millions of dollars to the poor or the needy or something, and it really doesn't have hardly any impact at all in this world. But the simplest act of kindness or goodness that we might do to someone that's just having a bad day, and it just turns their whole day around. It's more than $1 million could do to have an impact on somebody. So our prayer ought to be, Lord, give us eyes to see. Not just these great things we're looking for, but or ears to hear, but just have our eyes open to the simplest little thing that we can do. The simplest little thing here, the simplest little need that we can help. That's the whole law is in all that. Love your neighbor as yourself. And a lot of times we're looking for some great big thing along the way. And it's right in front of us. Right in front of us. Sometimes, and we're looking for something big, and it's that little thing we just overlook that would have made the difference. So whenever we learn, just like everything else, you know, we look at the big steps, but when we learn to take the baby steps, that gives us the strength to take the bigger steps. You know, we see a mountain Tyler talked about, and it all starts with the very first step we take towards it. It's not, we can't do it all in one big shovel full, but a whole bunch of little shovel fulls, and pretty soon that thing's gone. Taking the little steps, and it's just like that with helping people. You know, if we don't prepare, if we don't have the path made, the foundation laid, the little things, the big things will never be able to find support for anything else. Then it says, but if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. You know, a lot of times we get to not having a big battle, not having some big enemy to fight. It goes this way with everything. You start bickering among yourselves. This is how it always works in history, that you start biting and devouring another. We want an enemy to fight. So we'll pretty soon we'll start picking at each other to find our own enemy so we can have an enemy to fight. Instead of keeping that focus on keeping ourselves under and looking out how we can help. Then it says, but I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. And a lot of times, whenever people, some people that I've seen that claim to be the most spirit-filled or the most self-centered, arrogant, egotistical people you've ever seen, they don't care about anybody because they're filled with the Spirit. But being filled with the Spirit is, like we talked about, it's invisible. It's not us. You know, he's not self-announcing. I got it. That's not how it works. You know, that's the way people talk about whenever they get filled. I finally got filled with the Spirit. But that's not it. He's not self-announcing. He's life-changing. But it's turning from ourselves and our own ambitions for religion and our own desires for to exalt ourselves to the place where we love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, it didn't make a big bang in the world. And that's why maybe when we see someone do evil, it looks real bad and we don't notice a lot of the things that are getting us higher and closer to God, because it's just natural. It's just the way it's supposed to be. And it doesn't make a big gonging sound that I've done something. It's just, we're just doing something. And it doesn't get a lot of notice and attention. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. You want victory in your life? You know, we go chasing after fruit. Some of the things we don't like in our life, and we start putting our focus on not doing this or not doing that instead of walking after the Spirit. Here's the key. Here's the recipe for living a godly life. Walk after the Spirit. Be in tune to God. And the heart of it is love your neighbor as yourself. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. You know, we can see that. All of those things, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger. I mean, these are fruits of the flesh. These are the fruit. And a lot of times we can see these things in us, and again, we go focusing on those things, trying to knock that little fruit off. But it's the heart, it's the root that we've got to get cut down. It's all about ourself is why these things attack us. And then we get into disputes and dissensions and fractions. You know, a lot of times we don't see those near as bad as those other, but disputes, dissensions, and fractions. You know, the church at whole is just divided up in all these little fractions. Denomination is just another word for fraction. All these things that separate us, that divide us, that dissent, that dissect us, they tear us into all these little pieces. But it's usually over just one or two little things that the heart of is in ourself. Some little rule or some little idea that I have, instead of walking in the Spirit, loving one another. You know, God's picture, how can God allow someone else to make their own decision? It takes a person that's bigger, big enough not to get offended when someone else disagrees with us. You know, we see the smallness of people by how much they try to control everyone else. It shows the smallness. Because I can't tolerate someone that's a little different than me. And so I've got to control them. That's the opposite of what God is. God's big enough in Himself to let us make our own decisions. And if we're going to walk in the Spirit, sometimes we've got to let some people disagree with us and be big enough in the Spirit of God to allow them to make that decision. You know, we can hurt for them. I know God hurts for those kind of decisions. But we got to let them make their own minds up. That's the way it is with other churches. We don't need to dominate to show our strength. Our strength comes in allowing people the freedom that God has given us to make those decisions. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. I have forewarned you, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, last week we talked a little about that. The kingdom of God is going to be made up of people who are following God's Spirit because they belong with Him. They belong together with Him. That's what being born again is all about. That's what being a disciple is all about. Becoming like God. So that when this all passes away, this flesh, this earth, these things that we can see, whatever's left is who we really are. The character that we have, it'll either belong with God or it won't. It'll be discarded in the trash can of hell with all the other bad and evil that we wouldn't want in a perfect heaven. We have the opportunity to be like the Spirit of God so that we can dwell with Him here and in eternity. Those things won't inherit the kingdom of God. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law at all. You can go as far as you want. You can go as far as you want this way. Probably won't get noticed. But we can excel. As low as the lowest is, we can go higher. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We live by the Spirit. Let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, and envying one another. You know, so often it's a big competition to see who can be the holiest. I think that's caused more problems in churches when someone might be actually applying a lot of these things and doing these things, and someone that isn't often gets envious. Envy is an ugly, ugly thing. It'll destroy more good just because it's better than I am. It would rather destroy something good because that doesn't keep me at number one. You know, I talk about people, there's people all over the world that think they're some kind of Noah or Moses or something because they're off by themselves because they can't get along with anybody. And that's the reason. Because if they get around people, they might find people that are a lot farther along than they are. And they hate them. That's what got Christ crucified. Because the most righteous among the religious saw Christ and saw his goodness and saw his greatness, his humility, his all the things that were spiritual. He was far above them. And instead of trying to learn from him, they said, let's crucify him and get rid of him. That's what envy does. So let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. You know, that's part of having, loving your neighbor, is putting yourself in their shoes. Putting yourself in their, that's how you begin to hear and begin to see. Is recognizing what that person is going through. What place, what thing that they've endured in their life that they've had to overcome that we might not know of anything about. You know, I've told y'all before that, you know, why are you able to sit here this morning and learn these things and know these things? There's people all over the world that's grown up to be cannibals. That's all they know. What makes you so great that someone cared enough for you to prod you a little towards goodness? What makes you so special that you didn't grow up worshiping a monkey along a river somewhere, or grow up in some city with drug addict parents not knowing one thing about anything that was good? You know, that helps us look at other people in a little better light. Jesus sent us his comforter. You know, a comforter doesn't always make us feel comfortable. He's trying to prod us on to be better. You know, some of the boys we try to help, I pick at them pretty hard sometimes. I don't want them to be comfortable in where they think they're the best in the world. Whenever they're 18 years old or 19 years old and know everything and can outsmart everybody. I don't want them getting comfortable in that position. It's because we're trying to comfort them out of it, get them past it, so that they can become better. If you get comfortable in that place, you're going to be a miserable person the rest of your life. So when someone's trying to prod you out of it, don't get upset with them. They're trying to bring you out of it. Anyway, well, God bless y'all.